On the Fly is on the air, and we are down in the what used to be known as Ultralights, and according to the Wayfinder Tower, it still is, but it's really called now the Fun Fly Zone, because there's much more going on down here than just Ultralights. Dan Johnson is with us, and Dan Johnson, if you don't know who he is, and actually you probably do, because everybody knows Dan Johnson, he's kind of all things light sport. Dan, for those who don't know who you are, give us a little introduction about yourself and what you do.
Well, my entire focus is light sport, what I call sport pilot kits, because they're kit-built airplanes that a sport pilot can fly, and ultralights. Well, this is the ultralight area, so I think this is the most charming area of the whole show. Not to take anything away from all the wonderful stuff there is everywhere, miles in the distance, it seems, but you know what? I think this is the most interesting part of aviation in some ways, because it's highly personal.
Yeah.
You're one person to an airplane, and that's what the whole point is about. And it's just there's some really cool machines down here.
Now, Dan, I've interviewed you many times over the years in different places. Years ago, they had a plaza. A special remember when light sport was new and everyone was running around trying to figure out what the rules are going to be, and oh, we have this new light sport rule, and we have LSA and all this, and we had a plaza way up there where now they, you know, the universities are in the, you know, Gateway Park. But you remember that?
Yeah.
And do you remember?
We called that the LSA Mall.
The LSA Mall.
Where we tried to collect a whole bunch of manufacturers that wingtip to wingtip with their competitors. They were willing to show their product off, which made it easy for everybody, because you could just go down the line and see them all, or not all of them, but many of them. And that's kind of what's happening here too. You come here, you see everything that's here.
But now we have SLSA.
Yes.
And now, so they've really integrated light sport into the main show now, or in the main displays, right? So there's no more light sport mall. Now light sport SLSAs are part of the mainstream deal.
Yeah, they're kind of scattered all over the grounds there. Some in different places. Some are down here too, actually, or they have a presence here as well as the other end.
Far we've come.
Yeah.
Yeah. So speaking of that, that's what I wanted to talk to you about. How far have we come? Let's talk about the last, 3 years, because we've been kind of out of it for a couple years with everything that's been going on. So what is currently happening?
So what's an interesting thing about the whole last 18 months with the COVID thing is that this segment of aviation has actually thrived amazingly well. Well, think about it. They're open cockpit, single place aircraft. Whatever the mandates were and whatever you think about them, you were pretty safe going to fly your little ultralight airplane, because there you were by yourself in an open cockpit airplane. It doesn't get much safer than that. And so a lot of them actually did more flying than perhaps some other segments of aviation did, where people felt constrained by the various mandates that were put on us. So I think this site has done very well, and reflected in my website. My audience was way up last
which
year.
Is bydanjohnson.com.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's right.
I love it when somebody else plugs it. I'm willing to do it myself. But thank you.
Well, it's a great website. And, of course, we encourage everybody who's interested in anything light sport, ultralight, to visit that website, because it is a huge resource of information. You do a lot of interviews.
There's a
lot of flight testing. Your feet are on the ground running around to stuff that's in the air.
All the time. Exactly right, right. Get my feet off the ground whenever I can, and that's pretty often. So
what's exciting? The next thing, we're going to talk to the Aerolite guys. We know that's exciting progression over there. We're also going to talk to guys at Composite FX. They've got some cool stuff going on.
They do.
What else, other than those, what else is super exciting that's happening right now that may be somewhat new?
Well, so there's a couple of things right down here in this area that are pretty new. For example, there's a little Part 103 gyroplane. We haven't seen one of those. They're all two-seaters, and they've become quite sophisticated deluxe airplanes. Nothing wrong with that, of course.
No.
But they're not Part 103, because they're two-seaters, and they're much heavier than they could be. But there's one here, and it totally meets it. And then on the other end, there's the same exact platform that's done with, it's not finished yet, but it's going to be electric. Part 103 gyroplane. So there's a couple of combinations that aren't common. We've also seen the return of a couple airplanes. For example, the Sparrow, the Carlson Sparrow, is back in the game now after a number of years of being away. So you kind of look at some of these airplanes and you go, wow, I haven't seen that one for a while. Well, just wait a year or two. You know what? The good ones all come back. So maybe some others don't. That's okay. But the good ones all tend to come back. And I think there's been a lot of interesting things down here. There's another, also a Part 103 powered parachute out here. Excuse me, a carriage for powered paragliders. Very well done. It's called Dragon. You can see him over here in the area. And very, very nice. But, you know, the challenge for me here is going back and forth between what I call the two ends that have the aircraft that I try and follow. Because it's about a little over a mile down there.
And those are down in the home build area. Right.
Well, some of them, what we used to call the North 40, which is a little different now. And many of them are up there, but those are mostly the sport pilot kit guys.
Okay, the Vans, the Zenith,
Rams,
which you also
Sonics,
follow.
And, oh, yeah, but, follow all of them. If you can fly it with a sport pilot certificate, I'm all over it.
Okay.
If you can't, I'll leave that to the other guys.
Right, there you go. So a very cool inventory of new stuff. Now, you know, last time I talked to you, we had a little conversation about the proliferation of the European light sports coming to the to the U.S. soil. What's happening with that? And you know, with over the last 4 years, a lot of tariffs, a lot of different things. How are we faring in those regards with getting those really cool? And there's new stuff coming from there too.
There's always new stuff. The Europeans enjoy some government funding of development projects. Now, they don't fund companies that are trying to be in the profit business, but they will help. Many of their governments will help people who say, I've got an interesting project here, but I need some funding, and they're willing to do that. Like many other countries don't do that, but Europe sort of specializes.
Are we talking about
that,
like the Czech Republic and places like that?
Yeah, and Germany and France. You know, all the European countries. So they can develop some very interesting machines, many of which never come to market.
Oh.
But they're developed something that somebody goes, hey, I can use that, whatever it is, on my design. So it's kind of a feeder system. Kind of like in sports, you have feeder baseball teams that end up in the big guys when they get really good. This is sort of the version of that. Now, we have that here, too. But we don't tend to get quite as much PR about it. They've got to come to AirVenture. And then you go, oh, I didn't even know you guys were doing that. So there are some very cool things happening here, too. I would say it's about, at first it was all Europeans because they were allowed to fully build airplanes. We were not. We had to do kits. So America was a kit country. Europeans were fully built. So when they released fully built aircraft, special light sport aircraft, they just came flooding in and they were like two-thirds of the market for a while. Now it's actually leans a little bit more toward American brands now. Many of the European brands have established good footholds here and have good support for their products, local people that represent them. So it's really all good. But in the world of light sport aviation, it's a worldwide phenomenon.
Right.
It's not just the USA. Even though we kicked it off, the rest of the world embraced this and is just going crazy with it.
Well, and some of them are even farther ahead than we are.
Oh, absolutely. In some cases, but not always. You never can count out these American designers. You know, I'm proud of a lot of these folks that really get out there and do some good work. So
I guess I'm speaking more towards like a regulatory wise and licensing, and the way things work over there is totally different from over here in many cases.
Well, it is, but it's not so different.
Because they have a whole different. Go ahead.
They do, but they all are now agreeing to use this thing called ASTM consensus standards. And that's gone around the world significantly, and the government agencies like it because somebody's already kind of done their work, if you will.
Let's talk about that because, you know, part, 23, that's what we're used to here in the U.S.
For, sure.
You know, licensing. Let's talk about that ASTM because that's a huge thing, especially if we're incorporating it worldwide. Tell our listeners, what is that all about?
Okay, so industry consensus standards is a situation where, in this case, the government says, look, instead of us prescribing how you will meet the proof of your airplane being a solid airworthy product, we're going to let industry decide what that is. And that means really a bunch of volunteers like me going and not being paid to do this and deciding, you know, how strong should an airplane be and things like that. And what has happened is that because we do it that way, we can make changes very quickly. if there's a problem or there's a need for something to be developed differently, we can often have a new standard out, not often, but it's possible to get a new standard out in 30 days.
Much quicker than bureaucracy. Yeah.
You change a Part 23 thing, it can take years, literally. So here's what's really happening. I know we're running out of time, but ASTM has done so well in light sport. It's one of the great success stories of light sport that nobody knows is that system, and that is now impacting Part 23. They're going to use industry consensus standards,
which is fantastic.
And UAVs or drones or whatever you want to call them, they're going to use them. Yeah. So ASTM has really kind of invaded that whole space thanks to the success with light sport aircraft.
Wow, that's great. And thank you for that concise rundown of ASTM, because I think if I'm wondering, and I know other people are wondering it, so it's
one of those things. Why would you want to know too much about it, except for maybe the points I made, that it's good for you. Let those guys do their work.
Okay. It is Friday. It is, 1:30 in the afternoon here on the grounds at AirVenture. You, Dan Johnson, what do you recommend people get out and see for the rest of the show? We have a minute left. Let's just concisely say, hey, if you're interested in this stuff, other than this zone, the Fun Fly Zone has stuff going on before and after the air show all the time. But what do you think is special? If you had one thing to go look at, what would it be?
Well, I'm already in that area. As I said at the beginning, this is my area of charm. And, it would be hard to pick one thing to go look at. I mean, it's a kid in a candy store here for every single one of us out here. Find the candy that you like and go eat it up.
There you go, Dan. All right, everyone, check out buydanjohnson.com. It's a ton of information on all things light sport, and I think everyone will find that a great resource. And Dan, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Great to be back with you here again. We're so pleased that this thing is happening.
Oh,
it's been a great week. I've seen more smiles this week than I think I've seen in the last 2 years.
I know, right? We know everyone's got their teeth this week.
That's right. I like it a lot. So thanks to EAA for making it happen once again.
Oh, absolutely. All right. Jay Mutchie, we are on the fly. We're at Ultralights, the Fun Fly Zone. If you haven't headed south yet, come on down the flight line and check it all out. There's a lot of stuff going on down here that you might miss if you don't make a concerted effort to get down here. We're going to take a break. We got lots more to talk about. You're listening to EAA Radio.